the Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Good afternoon, Anthony Reich. How are you?
Tzoraim tovim. Very good. Thank you. Shavua tov. I hope that you guys are having a good start to the week.
Yeah, you know what? It's that autumn kind of feeling where it's cool most mornings and most evenings, but during the day it's nice and warm. And I don't know if you remember Johannesburg, and the streets are just these beautiful golden and these autumn colors, all the reds and the different hues, you know, from brown to red to orange to yellow, just magnificent.
You might be surprised to hear this, but Israel also has its fair share of green ring color now
Israel.
That we're into late spring.
Yeah, you guys are so competitive.
We have to be very happy with what we have. And when I look around and see the weather warming up, and of course, irrigation systems now on in order to get the greenery out in the summer season, things are looking really, really pretty. A lot of the spring flowers out. And of course, out in the fields, it's a little bit too late in the spring now. But a few weeks ago, certainly there would have been many, many flowers out in the desert areas and out in the fields. So it's a great time to be in Israel in the between seasons, the spring and the autumn, a really great time to visit. But unfortunately, a lot of action going on all at the same time.
Absolutely. Israel's security situation remains tense after further attempted terror attacks over the past day. So what are the new incidents, Anthony?
Well, we had this incident last night where a man was literally lynched while in the eastern part of Jerusalem, and that is a very, very unnerving situation. This actually took place in the Isawiya neighborhood of East Jerusalem, and of course it is a predominantly Arab area, and this happened to be a Jewish man, and he was pounced upon, lynched. Fortunately, a medic came to his assistance, managed to rescue him from that situation. But that was really, really unpleasant. And then, of course, we had an incident with a man who had been wandering around the Judea Samaria area for more than an hour with an axe, apparently trying to seek out somebody who might have been unsuspecting and might have been a little isolated from security forces in order to attack them with an axe. Fortunately, the man was apprehended before he could do any damage. And of course, this all comes on the back of the so-called Nakba Day that the Arabs like to celebrate, particularly Palestinian Arabs like to celebrate. The Day of Disaster is what they call it, which is the anniversary of the founding of the State of Israel. It happened to be on the 14th of May in 1948. For some reason, Nakba Day officially fell this year on the 15th of May, which was yesterday. It gave Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas the opportunity to say that he would continue to pay so-called prisoners and martyrs, people who've been involved in trying to carry out either successfully or unsuccessfully terror attacks against Israelis. And he renewed his commitment to families of the prisoners of martyrs, people who are imprisoned by Israel, that he would continue to fund them, the so-called pay for slay policy that is being followed by the Palestinian Authority and that is so controversial and represents a real obstacle to somehow trying to find a peaceful solution for us to all coexist between ourselves. Because while that regime is funding people who carried out terror attacks, it's very, very difficult for the Israeli government to sit down in their presence and say, okay, while you are paying people who actively go out to try and kill and maim our people, we will negotiate with you to somehow reach a peaceful agreement to live peacefully side by side with one with each other. The two concepts just seem not to go well together.
Yeah. You know what, Anthony, I wanted to just talk to you about this journalist who was shot. Have there been any updates on that?
Well, no real updates today. Obviously, the events of Friday went down very, very poorly indeed. That it was the funeral that took place on Friday. And unfortunately, Israeli security forces were involved in getting involved actually in the funeral, which is really not what we would have wanted to have seen at all. And yet it was decided in the spur of the moment, in the heat of that moment, that it was the right thing to do for the security forces to become more actively involved in order to try and keep as much peace around the funeral procession, because obviously the funeral, as we could all expect and understand, was in the process of being hijacked for the purposes of anti-Israel demonstration. All of this taking place right through the streets of the Israeli capital, Jerusalem. And so therefore there was quite a lot of sensitivity around the funeral procession and the fact that the funeral might get a little out of control. And so that is at least the reason that has been given by the Israeli police as to why they decided to get involved in the funeral. There were some claims that the body, the casket, had been taken from the family by protesters in that funeral procession, and the police claimed that they were intervening in order to return the casket back to the care of the family. It turns out that the family don't necessarily agree with that particular version of the story, and Shireen Al-Akbar's brother has come out saying that that he doesn't agree with that particular version. But I think that the truth of the matter was that the police were a little concerned that whereas they'd requested that the body be transported from the hospital where it was being held to the graveside by a hearse, there was a concern that there would be an attempt to try somehow to carry shoulders, or however they were going to carry it, through the streets, using that as a protest in order to take the coffin to the graveside, and that would potentially generate some unrest in the city of Jerusalem, which the police obviously wish to avoid. So it's not very, very clear exactly who called the shots and who was in control of the operation, but all we could see on the news was highly armed police with batons and with helmets and with chest guards and with all kinds of equipment getting involved in what was ostensibly a funeral procession. And of course, it just added fuel to the flames of the accusations that Israel was somehow involved in the death of this particular journalist and was wanting somehow to control the story that surrounded what was going on. So all of that didn't work out particularly well. The Palestinian Authority have already said they will not cooperate with Israel in investigating whose bullet it was that killed her. And in all honesty, if I was the Israeli government, I would give up on that, because I don't think that there's any good that could potentially come out of such an investigation. It doesn't really matter whose bullet killed her. Ultimately, the story is going to be the story. And even if it's found that it was a bullet from one of the Palestinian gunmen around the area, I don't think it's necessarily going to bring any good to the story.
It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Just out of interest, what do you think the chances of, you know, if anything like this ever, God forbid, had to happen again, that Israel's leadership might, as a gesture of peace, reconciliation, perhaps attend a funeral? Are you offended by that question, even?
Am I offended by the question? It's very hard to offend me.
So, that's true, actually. Thank God.
I mean, can
you imagine if that had to happen? It would be completely, you know, safety concerns aside, it would just be a complete game changer, because it's something that nobody's expecting, and it would be something so different from what's been done in the past.
I think we need to be very cautious here, because even though it might be considered as something completely off the wall, let's not forget that they would be entirely unwelcome in such a gathering. Mm. And it could potentially fuel more flames than bring any good to the situation, because the moment some official from the Israeli government turns up in an event like that, that could really cause a riot, because that person would be really unwelcome at a particular event like that. And, you know, let's park the funeral itself and talk about gestures and talk about trying to reconcile. I think that Israel has done more than its fair share of attempts at gestures and reconciliations to last a lifetime. The problem is that such gestures and reconciliations are often considered as a weakness rather than a strength. And so, you know, all of that needs to be very, very carefully considered in the context of what is a very, very stormy Middle East situation.
All right. So the same rules that apply elsewhere don't necessarily apply to that region. Anthony Reich, thank you so much. It is always a pleasure to speak to you. It is a pleasure to listen to you in the mornings at quarter to eight every morning. And I wish you an Erev Tov.
Erev Tov to you guys as
thank
well.
You so
drive
much.
Safely.
God bless. Thanks, Anthony.